Hello there.
Hello there, you beautiful man.
I have missed you.
I've missed you too, Shawnee. Oh, it's good to see you again.
It's always good to see you. It's been too long.
It has been too long. We've had an unexpected little break. We need just about a week and a half.
But that's long enough, man. We were not used to not doing the cast for a week.
I was starting to get the shakes.
Yeah. When you said about Wednesday, I was at home going, yes!
I wasn't supposed to be doing a podcast today. I was supposed to be busy, but things happen. Things get moved around, and I suddenly had some time. So I said to Sean, I said, right, come over on Wednesday. We need to have a little discussion about our social media stuff and do some planning, because normally when we do an episode, we don't have as much time to chat about that as we'd like.
Mm, yeah.
And it's quite nice to then actually dedicate some time.
Yeah, we've spent about 45 minutes? Yeah, doesn't sound very long in the grand scheme of things, but actually for us to have 45 minutes of social media sort of update and talk about, that's actually quite good.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to those people who are listening who follow us on Instagram and on Facebook as well, you may well have seen a massive improvement on the social media stuff.
I would say a massive improvement.
Don't sell yourself short. This is because Sean has taken over doing that, which is really good. And that means that we're now power sharing.
Power sharing the account.
Yeah.
Because before we found it difficult to have the account where we could both access it, but we found a way.
Yeah, so what we'd like to do and what we're struggling to work out is having the What If Qui-Gon Didn't Die Instagram account, but then allowing access from both our personal accounts so we can switch between the two quite easily. And the problem we've got is only one account seems to be able to be linked. Now, I haven't told Sean this yet, but I only noticed today when I access it through my tablet, I could access your account. I didn't.
Oh, right.
But it comes up as a thing that I can access.
Yeah, because obviously my account is linked to the... Because the login allows you to sign in. But I think there's a way I can stop that, but I haven't looked into it yet.
Yeah, I think...
I've got nothing to hide. You can have a look.
I've got my own Instagram. I don't need to be making anybody else.
I share you whatever I see anyway, so it's
exactly, yeah. Constantly sending backwards and forwards memes and all sorts. So, yeah. So, yeah. So if you see an improvement now, the video quality and stuff like that has improved, and that is down to the hard work and dedication of Mr. Wiggins over the table here.
Thank you very much. I do need to figure out how to... because I uploaded the highlights thing, and I think it's already reverted back just to the 4. Mm. So I need to have a little look at that. Maybe on the computer it's a bit different. If anybody has any help on us managing our account on the fly from both of our mobile devices,
yeah,
that would be appreciated, because I'm not especially tech minded, my friends will tell you. but you know, it'd be handy if anybody wants to get in touch and let me know if I'm doing anything wrong or how we can link it up to both of our accounts.
Yeah, which would be ideal. I mean, I am more technically minded, but when it comes to social media, I know a few things, but it's a bit of a blind spot for me, even, because I've for so long avoided it almost.
Yeah.
Use it, observe it, don't post on it.
Yeah, I've uploaded photos and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But even the stories and the reels for the podcast has been something I've not done.
Mm.
So trying to make it so it's engaging for people and thinking, what would I want to see to make me actually stop and watch the entire thing?
Yeah.
To know when it's coming out or whatever. Yes, it's nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
And brain-wracking at the same time. Yeah. Yeah. And then songs get stuck in your head, and then you're going around all day whistling the Ewok theme tune, and it's, oh, God. But there we go.
But yeah, we're learning as we go, and that's half the fun of the podcast. I mean, I think if podcasts were a thing 20 years ago, we'd record this, send it out into the ether, and just hope that people listened.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now you can promote it. And these days, anything you do, any sort of business or otherwise, art or whatever you can think of.
Yeah.
It feels like, and it's probably not true, but it feels like you have to have a strong social media presence to sort of engage people and get them involved.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that.
So yeah, so it's learning. That's why every now and then I put out a little boomer video of myself.
I love that boomer video. I love it. Made my little day seeing that. Also, I'm in space.
Yeah. How'd I get here? Must be magic.
The magic of cinema.
As you can probably tell, there was no lines there. I didn't read from a script. I just made it all up and then...
But it was honest.
Yes.
There you go.
100% honest.
100% honest.
Except for the fact that I wasn't actually in space.
Yeah, well, I believed you for a second.
You thought, oh no, he's on the space station.
How did
he's
get up there without me? Elon! Shaking me fist. Anyway, this is part of the What If Qui-Gon Didn't Die podcast. Yes. After that little shindig we had there.
Yeah, we're 6 minutes in and we haven't even introduced what the podcast is.
Yeah, so he's Jamie and I'm Sean, and this is the What If Qui-Gon Didn't Die podcast, Carillion Chinwag Session.
Lovely. I love it. You've taken over and I appreciate it.
This is the only week I'm going to do it, so... Record my voice and just play it next time.
Just drop it in post. Yeah. Yeah, so this is the episode where each week we sort of give you a little update on what we've been up to and, you know, a sneak peek behind the curtain and let you know what we're observing and what we're doing and maybe every now and then a little rant.
Maybe put the world to rights.
Put the world to rights, yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
It's a step away from the headcanon.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, nice use of words there.
Yeah, thank you to Mr. Jonathan Foster for that one. He's described us as a couple of Star Wars fans with our own headcanon, and I like that.
Mm. What's the name of their podcast, Jamie?
They are the Podchild's Cinecast.
Nice. Give them a listen, people, if you like films and stuff. They're really good lads.
Really, really good. Love it. Absolutely love it. You'll probably see something on Instagram.
Yeah, I've shared it to the page, the little post you made.
Yeah.
Thanking them and stuff. And actually, Jamie's little voice note can be heard in one of their episodes. So if you want to hear his voice for a little bit longer.
can I tell you something about that, though? It doesn't matter how many times I listen to my own voice doing my own podcast. When you hear your own voice on somebody else's thing, it's still amazing. You're like, that's me.
Yeah, I'm famous now.
I'm on a podcast.
Even though we make one, it's just never going to be good enough.
I think that there is a kind of a little joy to that.
Yeah, it's a bit like magic. It's like... So there's a Warhammer stream sometimes, and if I post in that and they mention my little sentence,
yeah,
and it could be absolute bull, but I'm going, they mentioned me. Yeah. They know who I am.
Yeah. Can we be friends now? Yeah,
can we be friends? I shook your hand once at a convention. Do you remember me? Yeah, little things like that. Yeah, no, I do agree. Yeah, yeah, it's... That's very nice of them to share that as well.
Yeah, no, really good. And as a little side note, Phil, who is the co-host on that podcast, he has made a film, and it's called The Regulars. And I think the website is The Regulars Film. If you search for The Regulars Film, it'll come up. It's about the Prince Charles Cinema. And it's about the staff working there, and it's like a day in the life kind of film.
Oh, nice.
He crowdfunded making it, and now he's got to make some more money to then send it to the film festivals because they require money to show the films.
Obviously.
So it's a big, it's like a constant.
It's money eating services.
It really, is, yeah. It? So he does have an Indiegogo set up as well. If you can find the website, I'll drop a link for it in our show notes.
Yeah.
But if anybody wants to be part of it, if they want to help get a film out there.
Yeah, definitely.
Then I think that'd be quite a nice thing for people to do.
Yeah.
And if not, you know, watch the trailer for it, see what you think.
And then make a decision.
Make a decision and share it. Other people might want to help.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's it now, isn't it? It's like you said before, you know. Social media is such a thing. We all walk around with our phones in our hands. You know, if you, it's there. It's there waiting for you to absorb it and see what you think about it. You know, have a gander.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not? If it ever gets out into our local multiplex, I'll get down there.
Yeah. 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 Nice.
But, you know, good luck to him.
Yeah. Yeah. Good luck to him. Yeah. Well done.
So, Shawnee.
Jamie.
How has How's your week and a half been since we last met up in person?
Right.
Oh dear.
Just trying to think the order of things. Bit of a busy week last week.
Yeah.
A few things were going on. However, all of that stuff aside, because that's home stuff, car broke down, didn't it?
Oh no.
Because I had, and it's my fault, silly Billy me.
Yeah.
Obviously, I went on holiday, and because I only live 2 minutes away from work, I don't use my actual car that much.
No.
Battery died. Got somebody out to jump it, and he said, lovely bloke, can't remember the name of his company, but he's on Checkatrade.
Yeah.
And he's got really nice, good reviews. If I can find his name, I'll drop it in another episode. He charged the battery up with his van, and he said, I'll give it a drive, obviously, let it charge up a little bit, because my car's a 2016, so the alternator sort of does its thing.
Yeah,
even
yeah.
if it's stood still. Doesn't have to be running like old cars do. Anyway, drove to Basingstoke, and I thought, right, if it can just last this week, because my MOT is on the 12th.
Yeah.
So what I'll do is I'll book it in early, get him to put a new battery in, because it would probably need a new battery, because I've had it for a few years now.
Mm.
Then it'll have its MOT. Parked up in Festival Place in Basingstoke, got back to the car, dead again.
Oh,
and I was like, oh, I'm right in the middle of Festival Place as well. Like, I've paid for my ticket to get out, because you have to pay, and then you get to your car, and then you leave. So we spoke to the bloke, and he was like, all right, well, I've logged your license plate. I can tell you're still sat there. I can see you on the cameras, like, trying to get the car started. Uncle showed up, luckily, because I rang the insurance. They said hour and a half. My uncle showed up at an hour and a half.
Okay.
And the other bloke still hadn't shown up.
Right.
As per most times when you wait for somebody. Bless him, he was obviously busy. Got the car started again. Went to Alfred's. Got a new battery put in. Literally, that week's wages went in a day.
They're so expensive.
Oh, God, yeah. And because for some reason, he looked under the bonnet and he went, well, there's two batteries we have, but the one you've got in there now is more akin to this one, obviously the more expensive one.
Yeah.
So I was like, well I probably feel safer getting that battery, even though it's more money. Yeah, and I thought, I could take it home and do it myself, but the car was dead.
Yeah, you need to get it.
So I was like, just get it in there. So, like, instead of me doing it, you know, see, after all that money, and I've got it booked in for its MOT, and I'm just like, coming into Monday this week, my bank's already said, you know, you got no money, didn't you? And I'm like, yes, I got paid 2 days ago. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
But yeah, a pricey time. And then that aside, me and my partner spent the afternoon yesterday tidying up, watched a couple of episodes of Emmerdale. And I have a little rant about Emmerdale, and she was howling at me last night.
I mean, whenever I see soaps on the telly, I rant as well.
Soap operas. How unbelievable they are. And I'm not going to go on too much here, because I don't have 40 minutes. Last night, apparently, I told her I was going to go sleep, and I said, right, I'm going to crash any minute because I'm so tired. 45 minutes later, I finally shut up. There are inconsistencies in these soap operas that do not make sense in real life. You're telling me that apparently this woman on there, not Emmerdale specifically, just soap operas. Let's use an example. Somebody owns a farm.
Yeah.
Right?
Is it called Emmerdale Farm by any chance?
Maybe. Or for you oldies out there, Home Farm.
Home Farm.
Yeah. So anyway, she owns this farm. She has a couple of cows, a couple of pigs, whatever.
Yeah.
In my eyes, it's more of a small holding. Do you want to know why? She don't have no staff. She works on her own. She runs this entire farm on her own, which is ludicrous.
Because
she's also got two kids, and she's able to get home and cook their tea. No farmer I know goes home at tea time. Right? Has anybody seen Clarkson's farm? Anyway, moving aside. She also then, right, she delivers to the little poxy shop in town in her own little van with her own little box with her own little label on.
Yeah.
Of packaged meat or farm goods. Right, answer me this. How does she pay for her house, pay for her kids to eat, pay the abattoir, because you can't butcher your animals on your own farm, you have to take them to an abattoir, and then get the butcher to chop them up nice once they've been slaughtered. Sorry, vegetarians and stuff, you know, whatever. Then she's paid for these specially designed cardboard bloody boxes with her logo on, and then she's driven her logoed van into town to deliver to the poxy little high street shop, not even the main shop that's in another village, right? Because Emmerdale's one little village with one little shop in it.
You know about the prices in those village shops,
yeah,
though, don't you?
I do not care if you have to pay 25 quid for a slab of steak, right? How is she not bankrupt? Because wouldn't you just kick it down the road in a wheelbarrow and be like, I've got no money, have some meat to sell, please. Also, the shop's got to take their cut, and then they've got to pay taxes. She's got to pay farmland tax and all the rest of it. That woman should not have an house to live in. Because she's wasted money left, right, and centre.
You're aware.
Need to breathe.
I know you're aware of this concept. It's called soap opera plot armor.
Yes, it does me head in.
Yeah, because that's,
they want to make it seem believable. Yet in my little head, that is so unbelievable. Yeah. I'm like, this is a fiction show now. Because also, how is the shop? There's only 40 people who live in that village, give or take a couple of extras.
Yeah.
How is it? Are you telling me everybody who lives and works on this street, most of them work in the same coffee shop or the pub, which should be also bankrupt, by the way.
Yeah.
Unless their pints are 30 quid a pint. How are they all affording the meat from this farm to keep her in? And I know she must send it off to other places, but if she's working on her own, how does she get enough cattle in?
Hmm.
To then rear and slaughter and pay the abattoir and her taxes and her insurance and
getting down to market.
And she don't have time to go to market she's always in the village helping everybody's bloody home issues out. Do you know, she's agony aunt.
So I think soap operas are quite good at, even the poorest people in a soap opera
can afford a pint.
Can afford to live.
Yeah.
They'll claim they're struggling. They'll put some dirt on their face.
Yeah.
And go, oh yeah, these poor people.
Yeah.
But they still got a house.
Yeah, they still got a house.
And they're still, but they're okay.
Yeah. Because they all apparently as well can go to the pub at 3 o'clock and have a drink.
Yeah.
And yet all of them must either A, work from home, or B, only do part-time hours, but for £1 million a month to live in the clothes and the lifestyle they live. How can they live and spend all afternoon in the pub? Because one bloke was in the pub having a drink, and he has a full-time job. But then he said, I've got to get home and do tea for the kids. And I'm thinking,
What time
did you finish to feed your kid? What, are you feeding your kids at 9 p.m? Or have you actually finished work at midday? Because your job is peanuts. Even though you wear a lovely suit, but you live in the middle of a farm village.
Yeah.
You know, and all the houses are the same. And one bloke, right? I'm nearly done.
No, keep going. I love it.
He's got a house, right?
Yeah.
And this leads into another point I'll do in a minute. But it must cost an extortionate amount of money to eat his house, because the front door, when they open it, is just a plank of wood. And I know it's an old cottage,
yeah.
But even old cottages now have big oak wooden doors with, you know, curtains behind them or brushes on the floor so that the draft can't get in.
Yeah.
And I know it's a set, but it's the most unbelievable thing when he opens his door. And you're thinking, there's no lock. It's literally just like a shed door. You've got a baby in that house. Somebody could literally walk in and steal your hypothermic baby out from under your arms and you wouldn't know about it. And then this leads into the other thing, the vet. So this bloke's missus works in the vets.
Yeah, is that still Paddy?
Yeah, it's the legend. You know, he's one of the, you know, him and Kane. I like Kane because he's one of the most believable characters on there. He works in the little garage and it's a wooden shack. But at least he goes to work.
Yeah.
And at least he earns his money. And the day in the show, it's morning, day and night when Kane's around. You only tell the time of day when Kane's around.
Oh, okay.
Because when it's dark, you know he's up to something. Anyway, Paddy works in the vets. Nobody in our village has got a dog. So how he's still in business, I don't know. Granted, he does the farm animals for Moira. You know, her five cattle.
Getting elbow deep.
Yeah, in the cows and that. And there's a couple of horses around. Obviously, it's a village. But again, there's only 40 people in that village. And his radius for being a vet must be absolute mileage. Because how's he making money? Unless he's doing home visits. Anyway, that aside, this girl, this woman, she hadn't been to work for 4 days.
All right.
And I'm thinking, he can't be that busy because he keeps saying, oh, I'm just covering for so-and-so, whatever her name is, Rona. That's it.
Yeah.
He's covering for her. And I'm like, you've covered for her for 4 days. You either have no work, or you're paying her to do nothing because you don't need her to do her job for 4 days straight. You're telling me she ain't been at work. granted, if stuff's going on at home, you know, you accommodate your workers and you let them have time off. You know, I'm all for that. Employers helping family issues and stuff.
Within the realms of reality.
Within the realms of reality. But this ain't reality. All right? Because then she did a runner and he's still not given her the sack.
Okay.
You know, he's a vet who looks after farm animals. He needs that other person to be like, right, I need you to hold that cow while I pull its calf out or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
He can't do it all on his own. The magic of cinema. He is Henry Cavill of the vet world. Right? He has done it all.
A question for you.
Go on.
Do you still enjoy watching it?
To get like this, yeah. I love these rants. Because don't even get me started on Enders. I'll tell you, the most fiction-based soap opera ever. But I'll give it its due, because it's been on in the background while I'm painting me Warhammer and stuff. Yeah, manly Warhammer, don't watch soap operas, I'll paint models, should you? But I find myself turning around and being like, that's absolute balderdash, that. Yeah. Like, how is that even allowed on TV? You know, like I said about the pub, right? There's 40 people who live in that village, and for the pub also does food. How can they afford to bring in food items for then they pay Marlon, the chef, to cook the pub grub? But most village pubs have to take bookings from outside the village to keep the money rolling in. But you never see anybody in there eating. Like, there's never a full restaurant of eating people. How are they paying for the alcohol to be brought in, the food to be brought in, to pay Marlon, to pay the bar staff, unless the pints are like 50 quid a pop? Because also the rent and the listed building insurance and all the rest of it, because it obviously is because it's an old village, must be extortionate, man. I went on a bit more last night, but I'm going to stop now.
That's so funny.
I shouldn't have name dropped that. Let's just say soap operas in general, because they're unbelievable. However, Emmerdale, still enjoyed watching it. Kane's a bit of a badass. And, you know, my partner really likes it, so don't slap me iron too much.
Yeah, I remember doing exactly the same as you when my ex's parents used to watch it. And if I was in the same room, yeah, that's it. What's going on? This is nonsense. What are they doing?
Yeah. They live in a cottage in the middle of a Cotswold village up north, right, up north, and it's dug out inside like a 5-star hotel. And here's another point. One of the blokes, right, I'm taking my jacket off now because I'm getting on bothered. One of the blokes, right, he obviously owns a mint because his house looks like a palace inside, even though from the outside it looks like a 1-story, you know, minimal width, old style cottage.
But
when you walk in the house, it looks like it's actually like 4 bedrooms wide.
Oh, impressive.
The downstairs is so wide and, you know, whatever, I can live with that because he's obviously had an extension or something. You can't see the extension from the shot of the village.
Don't think about it too much because it's going to wind you up.
Yeah. But anyway, he couldn't get a cup of coffee in his house, even though he earns mint.
Right.
Right. So instead of just going to the little poxy shop outside his door to buy some coffee beans, or I don't know, I think he had coffee beans. I just think it wasn't like full up because somebody else had drank it all. Mm. Instead of just making himself another one with the coffee beans he had brought at the most expensive little shop in the village, he then went to the coffee shop to buy one of the most expensive coffees he'll ever drink, because that little coffee shop also needs to stay afloat with the 12 people that go in there, and they only buy one coffee and then they sit and do their work all day because they're all mates.
Yeah.
So that shop should also be derelict. Why didn't he just make himself a cup of coffee at home?
That's
crazy village life.
So proper logic.
Mate, honestly. Again, that's why I like Kane. Because if he has a fight in the afternoon, he's black and blue by the evening.
Yeah.
And the sun's gone down.
And he's having a pint.
Yeah. And he actually pays for his pints. You know. Oh, God, blimey. Anyway. I painted some models for Brad. To change the subject.
Yeah,
he had a good little tournament at the weekend. I haven't put any photos up. There's no Warhammer photos on my Instagram. We should probably put some up, really. And then, yeah, just sort of went back to work and trying to chill out a little bit. What about you, mate?
Trying to chill out after
soap opera dramas. Yeah, I don't always watch soap operas, by the way. I do quite like, dear listeners.
There's no judgment, don't worry.
No judgment, but I have also seen, just quickly before I pass over to you, the new series of Bad Batch has started on Disney Plus.
Oh yeah, I saw some pictures.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And if you've seen the Clone Wars and any more Bad Batch or Rebels or anything like that, you're gonna enjoy it. I think the fourth episode is out as of, what are we, GMT time, like 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
Because it weren't out this morning when I checked, but...
Also, that's 2 weeks ago for the listener.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. Oh, yeah. So 2 weeks ago, Bad Batch came out. Lovely.
Good.
And actually really, like, God, pulled the heartstring because the second series ended and it was a bit like, oh, my goodness me, like, that's pulling a bit.
Yeah.
And then obviously they do the little recaps before, but they make it a bit more emotional.
Yeah.
To just hit you right in the gut. And I sat there just like, oh.
Someone cutting onions in here.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Put them onions away. But yeah, really enjoyable. And for Star Wars people, that is what's going to keep us by until the next live action thing comes out.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yes, good.
And over to you, sir.
Okay, I don't have a rant. Yeah, my week and a half has been, yeah, it's been all right. It's been a bit up and down, a little bit roller coaster, some stuff I won't get into. I've had Cherry here, which has been really nice. We've had some nice time together, but I've been at work when she's been free of time, and then she's been working when I've been free of time. So we've kind of missed each other a bit, but it's still nice to have her here.
Yeah. It's having the person around. You don't have to, like, sounds a bit brash, but you don't have to be up each other's arseholes all the time, do you?
No, exactly.
But it's nice to have company
in the house. Knowing somebody else is about is actually, considering I spend the vast majority of my time by myself.
Yeah.
It's nice when she's here.
Yeah.
And we get to spend that time together. I really look forward to it, and I'm really happy when she's here. And then when she leaves, it's like, oh,
yeah, what do I do now? Yeah.
And I have to sort of like think for myself again.
Yeah. I've got to edit some podcast. Goodness sake.
So one thing that we both did together is we found Twin Peaks on Paramount Plus.
Oh, I've heard about that.
Now, Twin Peaks is an old series.
Yeah.
Came out in 1990, I think. Or early 90s anyway.
1990, great year. Don't know why.
And it's hailed, a lot of people will say it's one of the greatest TV series of all time. It's like a cult
series. It's a classic, isn't it, really? Yeah.
And there's various spin-offs and other series and films have come out since, and you know, people might know like the carpet, the zigzag carpet design, you might have seen that in places, or the Red Room. Now, I've watched 4 episodes now. Sherry and I watched the first episode, which is feature length. So it's about an hour and a half long.
Yeah.
And it took us 2 days to watch it because we started watching it too late and then had to go to bed and caught up the
life,
next day.
Life.
It's a little bit out there. And that first episode is not that out there.
Oh, okay.
So you watch it, and the acting's a little bit maybe wooden, I suppose. It's very kind of like, it's quite weird in a way, but it's kind of off.
Yeah.
There's a kind of a weird vibe about the whole thing. And then in the second episode, so you've got Carl McLaughlin. He plays FBI Special Agent Cooper. He's got some very peculiar ways about him. He is a little obsessed with how good cups of coffee are in different places.
Right.
He loves the huckleberry pie that he gets from the cafe. And any time he talks to anybody about coming down to Twin Peaks, it's like, you've got to go to the cafe. The pie is to die for. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Loves it. Anyway, the end of episode three. You've watched episode one. You think it's a bit weird. You watch episode two. It gets slightly weirder. Some things happen. Some things are a bit like, oh, that's funny. But this is supposed to be serious, but that's a bit weird.
Yeah.
End of episode 3, it takes a left turn. Right. Like you wouldn't believe. And I was just sitting there, I was watching it, I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not going to spoil it. I know it's old.
Yeah, yeah. But some people probably wouldn't have seen it, especially like our age.
I'd never seen it. It sort of passed me by. I'd heard of it. I've known about it for a few years.
Yeah.
It's been on my list of things to watch for a long time, but I've just never got around to it. But if you've got access to Paramount Plus, or you can get like a month trial or whatever, I would say get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously watch Beavis and Butthead on there because it's amazing. But also watch Twin Peaks.
And Halo.
And
if you like that kind of
Halo, if you like that sort of thing. And you'll just watch it and be like, is this, why do people like this so much? I love it.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you that it's because the acting's amazing or that this is amazing or that's, there's just a feeling from the whole thing. It's just like, this
you get the good vibe almost. Yeah,
it's so absurd.
Yeah.
That it just doesn't make any sense. Now, I said to you before we started recording, I've had some weird little coincidences this week.
Yeah.
So, Twin Peaks, started watching it.
Yeah.
Really enjoying it. Then I was just on a little Discord server. I just popped into one that I don't normally frequent. And somebody's posted something about Twin Peaks. Bearing in mind, this is a 30-odd-year-old TV program.
Series.
Somebody's dropped in a little meme or something, a little picture of Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
Then I thought, that's weird. The next day, you were aware of the artist Jim Will Paint It. So you know,
I think you have shown me before.
The calendar I've got in my kitchen is Jim Will Paint It.
Yeah, yeah.
He, for those who don't know, he takes, he does pictures, but all his pictures he does are in MS Paint, old school MS Paint, and he does it with a mouse. So all his,
Yeah.
Anyway, he shared a picture on Instagram, a little story of what looks like a South Park episode, but instead of the South Park sign, it says Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of guys stood over a dead body of Laura Palmer, who is...
Yeah.
That's not a spoiler, that is the whole premise of the program.
That's just the point of it, yeah.
And I'm like, what is going on? Out of nowhere...
This show has made a revival almost.
And I've just started watching it, and it's not because it popped up, it's like a...
Oh, no algorithm thing, yeah.
It's just been on my list to watch for ages, and I thought, I want to watch it. And I was just on Paramount Plus, and I remembered, and I saw it there, and I thought, yes.
I'll try that now.
I'm going to do it now. And then it's popped up in other places. I'm like, this is...
It's like following you about.
Yeah. So, this then links to other stuff as well. So, I'm just going to say the director of Twin Peaks is David Lynch. David Lynch does some interesting things.
Yeah.
He directed the original 1984 Dune movie.
Did he?
Yeah. Now, Dune 2 is now in cinemas, or will be.
Yeah, it will be.
It will be by the time you listen to this. And the reviews I've seen so far, the comments I've seen, say it's incredible. And the trailer... I was at the cinema yesterday and the day before, and I saw the trailer both occasions. It does look incredible. The new Dune film is directed by Denis Villeneuve. I never watched these new Dune films. I didn't watch either one. I remember seeing, when I was younger, a clip of this old Dune film and or watching a little bit of it and thinking, it's not really for me. So I wasn't really bothered about it. Yesterday I'm at the cinema, and I'm watching another Denis Villeneuve film. I'm watching Blade Runner 2049. And that's an incredible movie to watch at cinema.
Yeah.
So I watched it years ago at cinema when it first came out.
Yeah.
Can't really remember the experience of it, but I've always known that I enjoyed it. I thought I wasn't going to enjoy it because I thought it's going to be like some sort of remake. It's so long after the original. How can it be as good? You know, there's going to be comparisons to what is
regarded
to be a great film. And now they're remaking or they're redoing or they're adding to a story that actually should just be a dead story, but it's here. But I always had a good feeling about it. And then I watched it on the TV, I don't know, middle of last year. Really good. Really, really good. Then I watched it at cinema yesterday. It's incredible at the cinema.
Yeah, proper cinema film.
The sound is it's loud, it's invasive, but it's not like if you saw Tenet. So Tenet was Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
And it was too loud.
Yeah.
It was like aggressively loud. Yeah. Whereas this is loud, but it, and when I say invasive, like it gets into you.
Yeah.
You don't feel like you're going deaf from it. You just feel like you can feel the sound.
Yeah.
The photography on it is stunning. It's wide angle shots.
Mm.
It's a cyberpunk film. You've got all these like big buildings. You've got dusty sandstorm sort of scenes.
Yeah.
You've just got like stark contrast in the color grading, which is really nerdy, but the color grading just works. Everything about that film is so good. And the story is also really good. Like that backs it up.
Yeah.
So I had a really good time watching that. And I think it's about 2.5-3 hours long.
That's a long, meaty film to sit through and still walk out and say it's amazing.
Yeah.
Without your brain being fried.
Yeah.
You know?
I wasn't waiting for the end of it. I was just so happy watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great, great film. And I don't know if that's showing a lot or if it's just having a few select showings in places.
Yeah.
But if you ever get the chance to watch it in cinema,
definitely do it.
And apologies, dear listener, but you know, might be gone by the time this goes out, but there you go. That's just how life is.
Yeah.
Keep your eyes open at cinema, folks.
Yeah.
So there you go. So there's a weird link / coincidence.
There you go.
Between these things. So then a follow on Instagram, another thing that does old cinema type memes and does cinema stuff. And they recently, yesterday, before I watched 2049, they put out a little thing about best sci-fi movies of all time.
Oh, okay, here we go.
And Blade Runner was in there as well.
I bet it was in there.
And that's so weird that, like, not just Blade Runner, the newer one. I'm like, I'm going to watch this later.
Yeah.
And this has just dropped in here randomly. Like, this is so bizarre.
The Matrix is looking out for you, honestly.
Yeah. It's so weird. You get all these little coincidences. And this happened last week as well. So last week I went to the cinema and I watched Interstellar.
Oh, great film.
And I've not seen that since the last time I saw it. Yeah, at the cinema the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is the last time I watched it. And it's so good.
Yeah, amazing film. I was blown away by that.
Yeah, and it's not for everybody. I'm sure there's plenty of people who don't like that sort of thing, but I was watching that, and again, it's a Christopher Nolan film.
Yeah.
So that's a second reference to Christopher Nolan here.
Yeah.
And again, the sound's incredible, visually spectacular. You know, everything about it was so good. Again, on Instagram, that page, the day after I watched that film, then put up a little post saying, which is the better music? Is it the cornfield chase from Interstellar? Or is it the music from Oppenheimer?
Oh, I think I've seen that.
Yeah.
Did you share it?
I might have shared that to you.
Yeah.
And because both of them are incredible bits of music.
Absolutely, they've got
very different sort of purposes, but they're both like big, important bits of...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You sit up straight and listen.
You feel that music.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was a bit like, oh, I watched that film yesterday, and now there's a post about it today.
Yeah.
Like, this is weird.
The Matrix knows exactly what you're doing.
Yeah, very, very strange.
Although I do love that film. It's a very good choice.
Yeah.
I think it's... And the emotional side of it is touching.
Yeah, so I wasn't sure. I was listening to that. I listened to the music of Interstellar the day before I went to watch it because I had it in my head because a lot of Instagram reels seem to use the Interstellar music now.
Yes, yeah.
And I thought, and I just got stuck in my head, so I just put it on, and I was listening to it, and I thought, this is sad music, isn't it? Like, this is designed to sort of really get into you, make you feel poignant, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I looked it up, like, is Interstellar going to make me cry? Because I can't remember, I didn't cry last time.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was some time ago now, and I'm a big softie these days, I cry at anything.
Yeah.
I cried in the cinema last month.
Yeah.
So, anything's possible.
Yeah.
But yeah, you get in there and you're watching and you're like, it is emotional. I didn't cry, but it's like you do feel that sort of that sense, especially when, you know, spoiler alert, when he's talking to himself in the bookcase.
Yeah.
Or he's sending himself a message and he's ignoring himself.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that makes any sense to people who haven't watched it, but you're kind of like, listen to him. Listen to her.
You want to shout, don't you?
But and that's what he wants to do, but he can't shout. So he's like, ah.
Yeah.
But he's watching himself, ignore himself. And when you first watch it, you're like, it's really weird. Why would that be happening? Why is this message coming through?
Yeah.
And he's brushing it off.
Yeah.
It's very strange. But then it's like,
when you get to the end,
when it all comes full circle, you're like, ah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah. Oh, great. I remember watching that in the cinema, and it was the same with what other film would do that, you know. I don't know if it was Dark Knight. I think when I first watched that, it blew my mind, cinema wise.
Yeah.
So watching The Dark Knight in the cinema blew my mind because it was something that, you know, it wasn't Jurassic Park.
No.
It wasn't a Spielberg, which we all know and love. It was a Nolan, and it was different.
Yeah.
And the music, like you said, would thump into you. And then when I watched Interstellar, that reinvigorated that. God, this is mental cinema for me. Like, it has blown me away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you said, people might not like it, but I definitely liked it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
And especially for a space film, it wasn't like, there's a meteor coming, we got to go into space, you know.
Fire a nuke at it and see if we can turn it away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but it was more human-based space film.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
It looked at the human emotion in space, essentially.
It.
And it was just, and the ideas of, you know, they must have had experts on site to sort of help write the story.
Yeah.
But how you feel it going, I can't even conceive how far away that is or how big that is or how, you know, or what that means.
Mm.
And yet somebody has filmed it as an emotion.
Yeah.
Just really smart work.
Yeah. So good to watch. And this is why I like going to cinema, because you can watch that same film on telly.
Yeah. Oh, it's not the same.
And you can have an opinion on it and you can watch it and go, that's a really good movie.
Yeah.
But when you're at the cinema, it brings an extra dimension. And I think that dimension is feeling.
Yeah. Like it engulfs you, doesn't it?
Yeah. Because in this day and age, you know, we all dual screen at times. We're all guilty of it. Like, we put something on telly and then we pick up a phone at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's really difficult sometimes to put that phone down when you're at home and go, I'm off the phone for the next 90 minutes, a couple of hours.
Put my phone on silent and just, you know, watch Bad Batch, for example, me, without actually letting anybody message me.
Mm.
You know, nothing major is going to happen in 20 minutes.
It's not. But for some reason, it's really difficult to sort of disassociate yourself with your phone for that amount of time. So when you go to the cinema,
you have to,
and you still see people like pick up their phone and just to see if they've got messages or whatever. But in that moment, I don't do that. I focus, and that's one of the things I really like about it. Is it drops you in the zone there where all you have to concentrate on is that film, is that story, is that emotion, is that just it sucks you in. I think maybe years ago you might have watched those same films on the telly, but without that distraction, because it didn't exist, and maybe you'd get some sort of feeling. But I think these days we are
just glued to our phones almost.
We're never present in that moment, so we're kind of, you know, we're distracted.
Mm.
But again, that's
just life as it is now, isn't it? Really,
but it's the magic of cinema. It just makes
the magic of cinema
gets you in there, makes you feel.
That's it.
And then the only other thing I've done. One more film, because I just love going to cinema, and I can because I've got the little Odeon pass, so I do go often.
Yeah.
There was a film that came out in the UK at the start of January. I really wanted to watch it. It wasn't shown at my local.
Mm.
And I thought I was going to miss it. Loads of really good reviews for it. And the film is The Holdovers.
Yeah.
So The Holdovers is, if you haven't seen the trailer, don't know anything about it. It's like a boarding school, a boys' boarding school, and it gets to Christmas, and nearly all of the kids get to go home. The parents come and collect them, or they get to go whatever. But there's a handful of kids who don't.
Like But like in Harry Potter, for those of you who don't quite get the concept.
Oh, yeah.
Harry
yeah.
stays at Hogwarts for Christmas.
He does, yeah.
This is the non-Harry Potter version you of could... staying in school over Christmas.
Except Harry has a nice time when he's there.
Yeah, but, well, yeah, yeah.
And it was always going to be a nice time.
Because it's Harry.
Because he's a wizard, Harry.
I shouldn't have told you that. I should not have told you that. Sorry, carry on.
So, yeah, similar sort of thing. And there's one teacher that gets sort of tasked with looking after the holdovers. That's what those kids are called.
Yeah, short straw almost.
Yeah. But that teacher's not exactly well-liked. And he sort of doesn't really get on with any of his students. And the students don't really get on with him and whatever. It's a classic story of all the people in the film grow as people.
Yeah.
It's only 2 weeks that they spend together, but by the time they get to the end of it, they've got a bit of a bond.
Yeah, and they feel like they're different people.
Yeah, they've all turned corners in their lives and discovered something new about themselves.
Yeah.
And how they get around there and how they get to that point is, I'm not going to tell you. That's a secret for the time being. Watch the film, find out.
Yeah.
It's funny. You know, there's twists and turns in it. It's not as straightforward as it sounds, but it's
worth it.
It's definitely worth it. And a lot of people I spoke to somebody and he said, best film he's seen this year. It'll be his new Christmas traditional film he's going to watch every year, he reckons.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I better get watching it then.
He said it's because it is a Christmas film and it was released in America in November, apparently.
Yeah.
So out in time for Christmas. And we got it in January after Christmas, even though it's set Christmas 1970.
Yeah.
And then we get to watch it near the end of February. So obviously, great. So a really good film. Recommend watching that.
Mm.
Well, there you go. There's my nice little weekly
film
review
catch
here.
Up of the week with Jamie.
it's nice when I can do it. I can't always do it because some weeks I don't get to go. But
film forecast.
Yeah, yeah, like I
said, with the JB.
But I don't know what else is coming out at the moment, so I can't give you any heads up on that.
Mm.
But there's always something around the corner.
Yeah, yeah.
There might be Wayne's World 2 at some point this year.
Do you reckon?
30 years. Old.
Do you reckon? I thought that was just rumour.
Matrix might be getting a little showing.
Oh, what? The old ones in the cinema?
The original, yeah.
Oh, I'll definitely go and watch them in the cinema. I love the Matrix.
Because the first Matrix film was out in 1999.
Yeah.
25 years anniversary.
25 years anniversary. God, blimey.
Yeah.
I loved that film when it first came out.
The Matrix is so good. The second one and third one, not so much. But the first one, standalone.
The first one broke, I think it broke away, you know, sci-fi-esque from Alien, Predator, all the classics. Matrix went, let's put a dance track over this and make it
stick
slick,
a donk on it.
Stick a donk on it and make it work.
Yeah.
You know, I love the Matrix. I don't video.
Yeah, same. It's so good. And like you say, it just changed the perception. It made it become a philosophical thinker of sci-fi.
Yeah.
People now, there are tons of people now who believe we're now in a simulation, and this theory has come from
the Matrix.
People
film.
Watching the Matrix, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that theory has probably been around slightly longer than that film, but that...
Because of the film.
It's mainstreamed to that idea.
Yeah.
And it's one of those ideas, just quickly, because we're sort of 50 minutes in.
So they can have a long one.
You can have a long one, yeah, why not? We've missed doing it. It's been a week and a half, so we've got the...
We've got the length in.
Okay.
Balls deep.
We're going to add some girth to this one. it's one of those theories that is incredibly difficult to disprove.
Yeah. Because especially when random stuff happens and you know it shouldn't happen.
Yeah, because when it talks about stuff like seeing the black cat twice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's deja vu.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a glitch in the Matrix. Well, hang on. I watched Twin Peaks. Then suddenly there was two things about Twin Peaks independently of each other and not sponsored like, oh, I said it and it turned up on me.
Instagram feed, algorithm. Adverts.
It was somebody I follow put that in at that time. And then Blade Runner and Denis Villeneuve, David Lynch, Interstellar, all these things have all kind of woven together in my last fortnight, and it's been really kind of inexplicable. I can't tell you why.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Matrix kind of would say, well, it's because you're in a simulation.
Yeah.
You know, this was...
This was preordained. This was planned programming for you. These 2 weeks have just been, you're going to do all this stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, we need to re-inject this name or this thing at me.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'll tell you what, when you trip over thin air,
yeah.
Right, and you know you're lifting your feet up properly, yeah. I ain't shuffling, right? And in my job, I don't shuffle because I hop, skip, and jump.
You are rapido.
Rapido. When I trip over thin air, or there's a millimetre of cement which is out of place, why then do I stack it? Because I'm quite clearly lifting my foot up properly because I don't walk no different. Yeah, that to me is just somebody in the Matrix going all over. Or what was the other thing I think about? And there's two things for this. So when you say, oh, somebody's just trodden over my grave,
oh, and you have your little
shiver spine.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, there's two things in my ears, and somebody will probably correct me here. One of them is, when your little brain has too much energy or neurons, you've got to imagine your brain is a little square door, all right?
Okay.
And your body sends all these little neurons and, you know, energy up your body and all your little nervous system and that. And sometimes you get a lot of triangles trying to get in the square door.
Right.
So what happens is your body has a tremor or a shake just to dispel it.
Oh, okay.
Right? And that's why it goes down your spine, because your nervous system's just dissipating all that energy, right? It's kind of like epilepsy stuff. You know, when there's too much energy, trying to bang on the door in your head, and when the door finally opens, that's when you have a seizure and stuff. This old school thinking that. That's not what they think now, that's what they used to say. But somebody walks over your grave. Why do we say that? Because we're not dead yet. So no. Where's our grave for somebody to be bloody standing on it in the first place? Right, I know online, if I had a look later, there'd be a proper response to this. And I'll have a look later anyway. But then the other thing is, aren't you just glitching out?
Yeah.
Like, as a bit of your coding in the Matrix, done something weird, and you've got to go, oh, jeez, that was weird. And it's the same with deja vu. Why do you remember things happening exactly as they've just happened for you to go, we've had this conversation, and you said them exact words and then them exact tone. But you're like, I can't remember when.
Yeah, it's never happened before. It's happening right now, yet somehow I can't.
Somehow my body's gone, you've already heard this.
Yeah.
Why? Because we're just rerunning or something anyway. Yeah, let's not dive into the Matrix theory, all right?
But then talking about memories, in Blade Runner 2049, straight back to that, there's a whole thing about implanting memories. Because there's replicants. They're not born.
No, they're just clones, aren't they?
They're just made, yeah. Yeah. Fully formed, fully adult, ready to go. Then they implant some memories to give them a sort of a sense of feeling and...
Yeah, to build up on their...
To help them deal with emotion and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, just very strange. Oh, it's all linked. It's just
all linked to the Matrix. We just plug in. That's why they invented smartphones, because they needed to manage us more. The algorithms in your phone are actually the algorithms of your life.
Welcome to Conspiracy Pod.
Conspiracy Pod with Sean. Now this is why my algorithm is a lot of scantily clad people on Instagram. The Matrix knows.
Just knows what I'm looking for. What you like. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't give them to me in real life. But just on my phone. Sorry, Katie.
Right. Well,
we're going to call it there because we've been chatting for a long, long time.
Yeah, so. we've had nearly an hour's worth of chatting here. So it's
there we go.
You'll have had enough. We don't want to burn you out because we'll want to talk some more.
Yeah,
we've got another week next week, and we'll have something else to say, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's it. I'll look into the Matrix theory, everybody, and if you want to hear about it, I'll give some information over.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Well, I think Matrix will be a film that we will talk about in the future.
Yeah, we did say in our first sort of week, didn't we? We will have to do an episode just on the Matrix because we both love it so much.
I mean, there is a good chance it's going to be 2 hours long, 3 hours long, because you can just really dig into that info.
But that's all right, because we'll just cut it up into many episodes. Matrix Part 1.
Yeah, lovely. Right, well, lovely talking to you as always.
And to you, my friend.
Look after yourself.
Be good.
And stay out of the sand. Bye.